everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking with about HR with the people that are getting it done out there. So just going to be me flying solo. Mike here from William Tincup. We'll see if he calls in. So let's get to our guest because she's going to change some lives today. I'm feeling it. I know what's going to happen. So Karen Hogan, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Oh, thank you for having me. I think it's been a while since I've been on the show, right? Like maybe a year or so, maybe more.
Yeah. What's up? What are you doing to us? Why are you hating on us? The whole year?
I think the year has actually, I think the world is starting to spin faster. It doesn't seem like it's been a year, but it definitely has. It's been a while, but I'm really, really excited to be back.
Well, good. And I totally agree. I've been doing a little research on some, you know, abstract time concepts, so I think the world might actually be spinning faster. I think you're onto something for sure. So, if you would, let's kick it off. Introduce yourself to our millions of listeners. We've grown since you've been here, so we've got a lot, and they love. We can't wait to hear what you have to say. So,
awesome. Well, my name is Maren Hogan. I work in the world of HR and recruiting via my agency, which is called Red Branch Media. We basically do marketing, media, anything a chief marketing officer would do for HR and recruiting-facing companies. Basically, the world of work, that's where I play. I've been in the space for a while now. I blog at a place called Marinated, and you can find me online pretty much anywhere.
Excellent. So take us into your world and what's currently keeping you up at night or top of mind in the HR arena?
Oh, my goodness. There is so much going on. I think the two things that I've been paying the most attention to are employer branding. I remember when people first started talking about it, and I wasn't exactly sure if it was a real thing, if it was really worth pursuing or paying attention to. Obviously, it seemed like a fun thing, and definitely right up my alley when it came to marketing. But I think back then, when I first started talking about employer branding, I was like, sure, that's a nice to have because there were so many companies sort of in the middle of, you know, really crazy recruiting challenges, a lot of layoffs happening. It seemed like a luxury at the time. Now, because, you know, hopefully the economy is definitely on its way back up, I'm just seeing a lot more people interested in branding in general, but employer branding as not so much a nice to have, but really like part of any key strategy. What I don't see is people understanding what that strategy looks like yet. Of course, there's always standouts in every field. But so I've been thinking about employer branding a lot lately. The other thing I've been thinking about is big data. And I was just thinking about it this morning because I'm working on some papers with Dave Mendoza, and we just had one published by Future Staff. It was fantastic. And I think, and then I just saw this one by John Sumser that he wrote on HR Examiner. And I'm wondering how much I really understand about big data and the industry kind of as a whole. You know, it's kind of this terminology we throw around. We say big data and we say social data, but what does it really mean? And what's the true definition of that? Are we actually dealing with big data yet? Do we really get it? And so those are a couple of things that have been sort of swirling around in my world lately. Do you have any opinions on big data, Brian?
Oh my God! Of course I do. My opinions on everything. What that's, you know, that and a quarter will have about 20 cents. So, you know, and I totally agree. I think big data is a term, right? It's a term that's flying around because it's pretty cool and it's so vague that you can't really be pinned down. So a lot of people really like to use it. My definition is. Finally, big data is just somebody attempting to look at a lot of information in a lot of different ways, probably quicker versus slower. That's my head always spins to. I mean, you know, you got to think, let's roll the clock back. I mean, business intelligence, you know, big data has been around for a long, long time. But the cloud, and I'd love to get your take on this, I think the cloud technology and that aspect of SaaS and the cloud, all of that has now made the on-ramp to these discussions a lot quicker and a lot easier for people. The outcomes probably haven't improved, if we're being honest, on what anybody's doing with it, but it makes it a lot more palatable kind of conversation, because you can't get really backed into it. You can always just say cloud. You throw cloud into like any sentence, and you can't really get back into a corner because of the ambiguity, which is like great for those who are total bullshitters, because it's like, oh, cloud.
Like marketers, like me.
Yeah. But you're good at it. There's a little bit of a difference. What do you think about that?
You know, I think what happens is when I first got into the industry, I started hearing all these terms, and I had no idea what anybody was talking about, so I just asked a bunch of questions. And now, this term that's been weighing on my mind, this whole big data conversation, I've heard a lot of people say, no, that's not big data, what you're talking about. This is really big data, and this is what big data actually means, and it's the same as business intelligence. And so I think I'm starting to get kind of an inferiority complex about whether or not I really know what I'm talking about. But I think that it's more about getting across-the-board adoption of, okay, this is the word, this is how we use it, this is what it means, and this is how it's different from regular data, right? it's like, why is it different? Why is the conversation different? And you're right, people do have more access to it, but I don't think that we figured out quite how to use it for our jobs and to like not just recruit better, but understand candidates better. I know marketers are using it, right? There's that great story about the guy that found out his daughter was pregnant before she told him because she got like all these coupons in the mail from Target. And it was
right.
Like marketers are using these vast amounts of shopper data and buyer data or whatever to make predictions. So obviously, I mean, nobody wants some crazy Big Brother recruiter, but we definitely want to use that data to figure out not just how to recruit better, but also how to treat candidates better, right? Candidate experience and employer branding, it all comes full circle. So it's like if we have all this data and we understand these people so much better than we could have even 5-10 years ago, why don't we use it to make the experience, the job-seeking experience, the work experience, a better one?
Well, and let's actually come back to that, because I want to stay on the kind of the origination of big data. I would say, like, in my opinion, commercialized or fully adopted big data, I don't know how you can't point to Google and not say they are like the founders of big data. I mean, they probably sit on more data than anybody in the globe as far as like the kind of behaviors and how people use those behaviors and pulling it through to an actual transaction, whether that's a different search term or that's actually a purchase or that's opening a document. I mean, they have all those behaviors. And
I know, but do you feel like they're getting crappier at it? Well, I do know what you mean, but like, lately I've been thinking that it's they're not as good at it as they used to be. And I think it's because everybody else is coming up to that same sort of threshold. Because it's not as intelligent as it used to be. We used to be like, oh, I must have written something about Viagra in my email because I have all these ads about Viagra in my email. But like now it's just like we kind of expect that, right? If you use Gmail or any of the services that sort of sell you ads internally, and that's just, one example of it, but I don't think Google is nearly as intuitive now, or at least they're not showing us that they're as intuitive as some of the other, players that are starting to use this differently. It's almost like they routed in this, semantic pattern way back in the day, and now it's like, whoa, everybody else has sort of surpassed them, especially when it comes to online behavior.
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought about that, but I think what's interesting is maybe because it's such a tool. I mean, literally a global tool for everybody on every device you have to kind of just quickly go out and get things. maybe that superficial relationship, to your point, is starting to just kind of make them in comparison a little bit, starting to be a little bit archaic, right? Because you have, like, you know, you have some of the other big players in the space, you know, Facebook and other folks that are out there that are kind of getting in the game, Twitter even, their relationships are a lot more specificity to them. Even if you have 700 million or a billion people, you don't have, you know, you don't have a trillion people using it. So it's easier to kind of calibrate that.
That's true. That makes a lot of sense.
That's a great point. I'm gonna have to ponder on that a little bit. So,
so we're gonna have a part two.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you think? I mean, is big data? I mean, is that just a label that people happen to throw on things, or do you see it getting some legs and people actually using it? Because we're kind of on the front end. I mean, we're probably only a couple years into people throwing the term around and it being the thing. Do you think this thing's got some traction over the long haul to stick?
I definitely do. And it's, you know, I can't claim to have done any of the work myself. I don't dive into big piles of data myself. But when I talk to people and I take these sort of big ideas and try to break them down into something that's sort of understandable for the layperson, that would be me. One of the things I see is that the big data, in order to be something that's useful to a company, they have to have enough, right, enough data to get the big label. But you have to be able to see trends, and you have to be able to leverage it for the future. And so when you take the social data combined with the big data, it makes it a whole lot easier to spot those trends and then to follow through on what you see or take action on it, because you have this sort of, you know, longer life cycle with somebody's, say, Twitter handle or Facebook or LinkedIn than you might have with, like, their, you know, home phone number back in the day. So I think that people are going to start using it. It's definitely actionable, but it's going to be used by big companies first, right? Just like a lot of things. They're the ones that have the money and just the pool of data to dive into. I think that HR and recruiting is a huge sort of ripe market for this, right? We're seeing all these amazing sourcing tools coming up and finding candidates, you know, that aren't on LinkedIn. They're kind of in these professional hubs. And so it's being used in that sense. But I don't think that's really actually big data. I think the reason that HR makes sense for the use of this kind of stuff is because we have so much, right? If a company's been around for however long and they have X amount of employees and, you know, X2 amount of applications at the very, very least, you have a ton of data sitting in your ATS or your CRM that you just, I mean, it's pretty much useless unless you can apply some sort of framework to it and spot these sort of trends and insights from all the years that you've been gathering it. So, yeah.
Well articulated. That's I completely agree. I love the discernment though between, you know, you got data and then you got big data. You got to actually have a lot. That's like a criteria for to be big data. You actually got to have a lot of it. That's actually kind of a, you know, that's probably one of those criteria that should just be pointed out to people. You can't have, you know, you can't have the 100 in your sample size and be big data because you got good stuff. It's a little different than that. So let me do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, we're on with Maren Hogan. And so, Maren, let's jump into what are some terms that just make your skin crawl and all, you know, to the point of like just, you want to get in a corner and just like shake because you hate them so much and they just need to go away.
I'm not a fan of the check is in the mail. No.
Fair enough.
I don't have a lot of terms that make my skin crawl. What I hate is, and you'll see this kind of, you know, we're friends on Facebook, so you'll see me every once in a while. People will send me like white papers or marketing emails, and it'll be a sentence that says nothing. It's like, you know, the key to a good long-term strategy is having a plan with tactical alignment. I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, all of this, you could have just been like, you know, the key to success is working really hard. Like, right, we know that. Like, yes, of course, the key to a strategy is having a plan. They're synonyms. But I think that what bothers me the most is when people try to make things even more complicated than they already are. I love this space. I've been in this space for a little while now, and I think it's already complicated enough. So we definitely don't need to be taking, you know, extra words and extra syllables to prove how intelligent we are and charge big bucks. It's really just like, this is what we do. This is, we figured out a really good way to do it. Here's how to do it. And let's go, right? It doesn't have to be so difficult. So that's probably my pet peeve, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I think that was a, that was actually more good content right there. Because I'm that's just a good reminder to be a little more thoughtful at times when I'm reaching out about something, whether I intend to do that or not. So, what are some things you see maybe going away in 2013 or in the next year that just maybe concepts or themes or, you know, in our space that just you see it fading and fading fast?
There's a couple of things. The first thing that I see fading is this kind of like the hoarder mentality of sourcing and recruiting. Like it used to be that the only marketing speak that anybody would use was how many profiles they had and how many names they had, right? That was back in resume databases and, you know, LinkedIn Recruiter. It was like, how much access can you give me to how many people? And that used to be kind of a bigger deal than I think it's going to be in the future. Because I think now we have access from so many different places, it's like drinking from a fire hose. And I think what people want is to be slightly more discerning, to be able to screen out the kind of talent that they do want, especially now that, you know, the economy has given everybody a chance to catch their breath. So I think just this massive amount of profiles needing to be a feature in every product, that's going to go away, at least in the marketing speak. It might still exist, but it's not going to be as much of a selling point. Another thing that I think is actually going to go away is, I hate saying that things are going to be dead, because there are so many different ways that people recruit, there's so many different ways that people hire, but I really do think that this whole attitude, I hear it a lot, and it's basically this: people want a job that's going to make them money, right? Like anytime you try and say, oh, you know, this person wants to feel valued, or this generation wants to feel like they're part of something, or this person wants a job with work-life balance, there's always been this pushback, and it's still happening even today, and that's true. Sometimes people do just straight up want a job, but I really do feel like that's changing a lot, and I see it not only in our space, right, because there's a lot of consultants, there's a lot of us just sort of floating around doing our work-life thing, making our own rules. So I can see how people would think, oh, we're caught in this little bubble and the rest of the world doesn't work that way. But as I'm fond of reminding people, I live in Omaha, Nebraska, and I see that, you know, throughout generations around here. I see that in my church. I see that with my kids' friends. I see that all over the place. And there's just, I think this whole, if we've gone from the place where the world doesn't owe you a job, which I can say that we probably have in the last 20 years. We used to feel like right. We were owed a job and you owed it to your employer to stay there, and that loyalty is gone now. Then I think that it's time for, I think people are going to stop looking at work so, I don't know, grudgingly, like it's drudgery. I hope that goes away.
Yeah, well, you're definitely an optimist on that, so I hope it's I hope it goes away too. It's you know, and it's interesting. I don't know really. Obviously, we have a lot of we've had a lot of smoke, not fires, where you got with social tools and with mobile and big data, we got some pretty decent sized themes that have came up, you know, literally around just delivery mechanism, content, accessibility, and then mining all that information into something. So I think we've had a lot of things come up which have maybe not confused the marketplace, but it definitely has opened up a whole other kind of gamut of people and places and things that you can go and talk about and this and that. And so it's just going to be interesting to see kind of how that sorts out and starts actually getting grouped together on how people like form businesses, right? Consultancies and how companies actually maybe have a new director over big data or a director over, you know, mobile. I mean, we've already seen that start to happen with maybe a little bit like, you know, obviously you and I a couple years ago presented on talent communities and it in some place, I can't remember what city it was, but I know we
Dallas,
did it.
I think.
yeah, and it was amazing. I remember it was amazing. We were brilliant and it was in a city. That's all I remember about it. But it's been long enough now ago. But you know, that's just one of those concepts that, you know, obviously kind of really sends people into a little bit of a hate spiral when you bring it up, because it's, there's, you know, I think it never really got defined. It just, it's kind of a broad theme. And that's just one like little small example. But I think what's going to be cool for like this next probably 12 months is seeing how some of these companies that have made investments start to kind of go in different directions that actually are going to simplify and drive adoption. You know, I mean, obviously you talk a lot about adoption. Our, you know, William Tinkup, our, my partner at DriveThruHR, he is like a total evangelist around adoption, and that's really what it's about, no matter what type of software package or program you've got. And, you know, I think that is really what's going to start to evolve over the next 12 months, because you're coming up into second, third, and fourth years of contracts, to talk about HR technology, where people are going to look and go, what in the hell happened? Nobody actually used this, or we used it 20%, or we, you know, we're at the end of this. We got to do something different because we got to be competitive again, right?
Right.
So how do you think, okay, that's kind of a, to go kind of swing back around, I want to get back to kind of candidate experience a little bit, but so competitive landscape, next 12 months, what's your predictions on that for just business heating up and things getting crazy again around talent, talent, kind of war for talent?
You know, I think I've never really bought into the whole war for talent. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've used it. I've written about it. It's great. Link bait, blog fodder, whatever. But I think that, I mean, we keep hearing the statistic about the contingent workforce and what it's going to look like by 2020. And it's like some crazy percentage of people are going to be just contingent workers, right? And I think that the war for talent just, it just won't be something that, I mean, we might still talk about it. We might still blog about it, right? That's what we do. But I just don't think it's real life anymore. I think it's like, okay, we finally recognize that we have these people with these interchangeable skills, you know, some of them, obviously. They become more skilled by working at a company. That doesn't mean they have to work at that company forever. What we do need to do is change, as you and William point out, change the adoption, not only for the software that we build out, but like for the people that come into our companies. Onboarding doesn't need to take 6 months, and doesn't make sense if it takes 6 months if that person's only going to stay there an average of 18, right? There need to be less proprietary BS around coming into a company and more about, you know, the worker is using your company to gain skills and knowledge, and you are using the worker to, you know, get your widgets out the door, whatever it is that you do. I think that can be a fair exchange if we just stop making it so complicated.
That is a now, and you're exactly right. And it's so funny that it really hasn't improved. I mean, the technology really hasn't improved the talent acquisition, onboarding. It definitely has improved onboarding. Or the overall hiring process. I think is probably the reason that dissatisfaction is at such a high level, and has been sustainable at a high level, is because it is such a the process is so broken, and I don't actually think technology helps that, because I think it's one more thing. I mean, it's a tool that you're able to kind of point to, and it's like, okay, it maybe in one respect adds efficiency and gives you the ability to have more reach using technology, but unfortunately, it dilutes the reality of making it simple and less proprietary versus just a good experience. And I think that, to me, is probably the one thing that's just is appalling and just really pisses me off, is big company, small company, unfortunately the norm is that the hiring process, the recruiting process, the hiring process, the onboarding process is probably indicative of the management process once you actually get there. That's why most people leave, because their supervisor is a complete D-bag and they don't like them or her. They're not taking the time with them. They have expectations that are just ridiculous for the amount of training, that is put into place. And, I think, unfortunately, that's a pretty common occurrence. So, So how does that change, Maren? Damn it. What do we do?
I don't know. I'm actually in the process of trying to become, not a D-bag manager myself. So after all these years of writing about hiring and training and onboarding, now I'm trying to do that myself, and I don't think I'm succeeding yet. So any words of wisdom that y'all want to give me would be much appreciated.
Willingness and acceptance. Those are the two words to not be a D-bag manager out there. Willingness to say, I effed up and you are definitely right. And acceptance when somebody comes in, loses their shit on you, and you go, okay, bad day, I get it, let's kind of reset this and then move on, right? Those are my two things that I focus on a daily basis, so I'm just sharing that.
Thank you.
That's all I got, by the way. That's it.
those sound like good rules to being a good spouse, too, willingness and acceptance.
I think those are pretty good human being rules, actually. So there's if you're forced to have relationships with other human beings and or animals, willingness and acceptance are two really big terms that you should, everybody should on the planet should probably get more familiar with and get reminded of. I daily, minute to minute, hour to hour, I remind myself of those. So, cool. Hey, we've got a couple minutes. Okay, we got 90 seconds left. So, Maren, where are you going to be at through the next few months that people might be able to connect with you?
I think I'm going to be at NACE. That's not for sure yet. I'm definitely going to be at SHRM National. You know me. I make flight reservations 2 hours before things start. So those are the only two that are on my radar at this particular moment. I just got back from the Employer Branding Conference in New York. That was fantastic. So lots of conferences, trying to cut down on the travel.
Hey, right on. Well, look forward to seeing you. Everybody, connect with Maren out there. She puts out fantastic content. She's a great person up in the Big O in Omaha. And, folks, I think you all need to have a kick-ass Monday. Maren, we'll get you back on before another year has passed. We are out of here.